February 6, 2021. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. As always, I am broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. And I'm so happy that you have decided to join me today at republicbroadcasting.org for people who can handle the truth. Please also visit SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net. Visit our wonderful and mostly friendly Spingola Speaks chat room at spingola.chatango.com. If you wish to review the names of past and future guests, just visit spingola.com and click on the radio schedule button on the left side of the page. We will take calls in the third hour at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Roger Sayles. That's S-A-Y-L-E-S. His website is Sovereign2Surf.
No, Sovereign2.
Sovereign2. Wow. Thank you for the correction. Sovereign2Surf.com. I guess that would have been really a bad thing. Sovereign into surf would not, that would be the very opposite of your message.
Well, it really is what's happened, but that is, I wrote a book about 10 years ago, 10 and a half.
I have that. Yes, I have that book.
It's, and the title of it is, for the folks that may not have familiarity with me, is From Sovereign to Serf, Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words. Now, it's got my name on it. I wrote the manuscript. My two teachers, one of who's now deceased, who you had on your program several times, John Benson,
right,
re-edited that into the masterpiece it is. It started out as an 80-page manuscript, and after they waved their magic wand over it, it turned out into a masterpiece. The legal argument, the back half of that book, is a absolute masterpiece. Okay, and it's not because I wrote it. It's because they edited it. So credit where credit is due. Deanna had my teachers, both of those guys. Glenn is still alive. Lives not too far from you up there now, Deanna. In one of the Dakotas. I'm not sure which
right.
one.
Right, yeah.
But they were my teachers. And 29 years ago this July, I crossed paths with them. And they changed my life. I considered the law teacher, John Benson, to be my second father because my original father gave me life, but John Benson gave me life number two with what he taught me and where I've been able to take it. And that's what we're here to discuss today. I've been on your show twice, I believe, since the book was written. What we're dealing with here is an unbelievably complex set of legal situations and situations, period. Okay. And what we have all been done, what's been done to all of us, let me rephrase that.
You're right.
We've been enslaved in our own minds. Okay. And what I'm here to do today is to, because I think I'm able to explain it easier than I ever have been in the 29 years I've been messing with this, okay? And there so, and recently I wrote a 2-page paper, which is what I sent you, that solidified this appearance today, was a 2-page bullet point overview of what's been done and how this has happened to you, okay? And I sent it to Deanna, and I sent it out to a whole bunch of people. I'm trying to get as many of the other intermediate, you know, the next level talk show hosts, SGT Reports, X22, Dr. Dave Janda, Sarah Westall, that crowd, because nobody understands what's going on. And you all step, they all step right in it because of this deep, deep dive we're going to do on how this has been done to us. Okay. So what I'd like to do, Deanna, the other two times, and I think you and I talked about this briefly, I can usually tell when I'm on with somebody by the time that the show ends on whether they got it or not. Okay. I was on with Joyce Riley twice to her huge morning audience because Joyce and I had known each other for years. And at the end of the show, both times, I could tell Joyce never got it. Okay.
Well,
this could not have been thought up by mere mortal man. They summoned their counselor, Satan, to put this one together. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with something we can all agree on and get some common ground. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two political statuses. You're either free or you're a slave. Is that sound right?
Yes. I think there's probably no in between.
Okay. And that's what this is. This whole thing's built on dialectics, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll show them to you all through here. All right. But let's use that first one. We're either free or we're slave, right?
Right.
Okay. You could replace the word slave with the word bond, couldn't you?
Right. Right.
Is not bond the root word of bondage?
Right.
Okay. Now, let's take it another step further. We've already agreed you're either free or you're a slave. Okay.
Right.
Would you agree with this statement? Freedom is God's plan and slavery is Satan's plan.
Right.
And there ain't no other plans.
There isn't.
Okay. And this is why. It's very interesting when you get into, and I use a fancy term of the word dialectics, but the common usage term is opposites. Okay. So anytime, if you don't understand the word dialectic, they're just opposites.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's a verse in James 1:8 in the New Testament, and it says the double-minded man is uncertain in all of his ways. It doesn't say he's uncertain in part of his ways, and it doesn't say he's uncertain in some of his ways. It says he's uncertain in all of his ways. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where we are. That's where they've got us. I start the article. Deanna's going to post it on her website. I'm going to tell you how to get it straight from me, okay, if you're listening. So have a pencil and paper ready, all right, if you're out there, because we're going to give some of that stuff out as we go forward. I'm going to follow the outline of the document pretty much, Deanna.
Okay. I have it right in front of me.
Good. At the top of the document, and the document is entitled How to Escape the Matrix, Repatriate. Okay. And you didn't know you could. Maybe some of you heard me before. Maybe some of you read the book. Listen, I'm on the radio 2 hours a day on our own network. Every weekday, and it's an open forum. Anybody can join and anybody can ask questions, and there's no commercial interruptions. And the reason is so we can get into the explanation of these very complex things that people have been intentionally Pavlovian conditioned in your mind to an opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, plain and simple. So let's the two statements at the top are very instructive. One is from Goethe. I believe that's how they pronounce his name. He's a German philosopher. He wrote an opera that's pretty famous named Faust. Are you familiar with that, Deanna?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what was the basis of Faust? He cut a deal with the devil.
Yeah, right. Faust, of course, is another name for Lucifer or Satan, the evil one. And a lot of people, I fear, have cut that same deal literally with him since then.
Oh yeah, well, and there's also a term that goes along with that called a Faustian bargain.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, this is Goethe wrote Faust. This is one of his statements. I think that he either knew what they were planning or they planned it off of this statement. Okay. And it says, there are none so, catch the adjectives here, there are none so hopelessly enslaved, as those who falsely falsely believe they're free. I'm going to repeat it one more time without the emphasis. There are none so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they're free. That's where we are. That's exactly where they've got us.
Right. Okay?
The second statement is from a gal that ran an operation in our country called the Underground Railroad, and her name was Harriet Tubman.
Right.
She was black. And her statement was, and it's a very profound statement, I freed 1,000 slaves, and I could have freed thousands more if they only knew they were slaves.
Right.
And you see, that's the condition we're in. We're enslaving ourselves, and we don't understand what it is or how we've done it. And they use equivocation, this opposite meaning stuff, to absolutely enslave you. Now, here I'm going to ask you a question, Deanna, and the audience, obviously. Are you a citizen of the United States, or are you a citizen of the United States of America?
Probably United States of America.
Okay, now we can go back and take our rule we agreed on. You're either free or you're slave, right? So in those two statements... in that statement, there's an equivocation. One position is free and one slave. Citizen of the United States is under the 14th Amendment, and that political status was created after the Civil War to give blacks federal citizenship with civil rights.
Right.
The United States of America is a national citizen, and in our country, early for the first, up until the 14th Amendment, really, even to be a citizen of the nation, you had to be a citizen of one of the several states. If you were born and raised in D.C., you couldn't be a citizen of the United States of America, and before the 14th Amendment, there was no citizen of the United States.
Right.
It was a really limbo position. But I don't want to get too complex. The document is written because if I was to try and put everything in there, the document would be 200 pages. Okay. Right. That two-page document is hit high point, bullet point, designed to make you start asking questions. Really. There's some statements in there, and I try and show you as best I can what's been done in a simplified way to get you to realize something's wrong, kind of what's been done, and to start asking questions. All right, would you like to be free of these guys, Deanna? Everybody in the audience, would you like to shed every federal agency, including non-federal agencies like the IRS, with the exception of two sections of the code, which are constitutional, would you like to shed those from your life?
Well, I think everybody would, yes.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry to ask the, well, you know what? You're wrong. There's a lot of people that wouldn't. Okay. But your audience, yes. Okay. People that think like us, yes. A lot of the ordinary people, they want to stay in the pink cloud because that's where you get all the goodies.
Yes. Okay?
So let's go to the end game first, and then we're going to fill in the blanks. Now, this is one of the reasons I wanted to get on, Deanna, because I can explain this one heck of a lot more simplified than I ever have been able to before. I asked you to open a couple of documents before or when we were speaking earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them I'd like for you to drag up is an official State Department document. This is State Department policy. And I'm going to give out the address for the folks in front of a computer. You take a little time for some of you to type it in, okay? But go to the State Department website, is travel.state.gov. So if you want to follow the bouncing ball here, go to travel.state.gov. And in the search field over on the top right, I want you to type Certificate of Non-Citizen Nationality. I'm going to repeat it again. I know that's a lot. Certificate of Non-Citizen, those are two words, Non-Citizen Nationality. Okay? So I'll wait a second, let it get to you. What you're going to see is a list of options. Just pick number one. They're all the same document.
Mm-hmm. A valid U.S. passport.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'll give everybody, okay. Let me repeat that again. Go to travel.state.gov. I want you to see this with your own eyes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to have Deanna read it. All right. So travel.state.gov in the search field. Certificate of non-citizen nationality. Options will pop up. Pick number one. Okay. Now, if you're there, I'm going to tell you what this is before we get into it, because I'm going to show you the most honest and truthful statement you're ever going to hear out of these crooks that run the federal government. Okay. And the only reason they're telling you is because they got to set up the lie that follows. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Certificate of Non-Citizen Nationality is basically a State Department document going over the fact that there's this group of political status. Now, they formed a new political status when they did this and hid one of the previous ones behind it. That's what's going on. American Samoa. You ever had any interest in American Samoa before, Deanna?
No.
Do you know anything about them?
I have met people from Samoa.
No, not Samoa. No, not Samoa. American Samoa. They're different.
Okay.
Samoa is a pretty good size island, and just off to the east of it is a little bitty island that looks like an almond, and it's pretty small compared to Samoa, and that is American Samoa. It was taken over and brought into our system of government back in 1900, and it remains to this day the only territory in the entire system that's unincorporated to this day. Okay. Now, these are the folks that did this. We know how benevolent, kind, and caring they are, don't we?
Sure.
Well, they saw the American Samoan culture as such a unique culture that they wanted to preserve it, like they've preserved all the other unique cultures out through history, right?
Sure.
And I've learned one thing in all my years. Anytime you see an exception like the one I just laid out to you, go look at it, okay? And the exception I gave you was that American Samoa is the only unincorporated territory in the entire federal system.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, so every other territory, we are actually corporations. This country is a corporation. It is not a country.
Yeah, it's well, that's not that. And there's a lot of stuff going around about 1871, and I'm going to show you the fallacy in that, too, as we go forward. But let's not get the cart ahead of the horses, okay?
Okay.
You know, there's an old saying in the profession I was in, it's easier to pull a rope than it is to push a rope. And I'm trying to pull a rope here, okay? So this Certificate of Non-Citizen Nationality was put out by the State Department for these American Samoans. And if you read to the bottom, which you don't need to, but you can, if you read to the bottom, they're going to say, well, we used to issue these things called Certificates of Non-Citizen Nationality. We have requests for them occasionally. But, you know, Deanna, the cost of paper and the ink, because it's on real fancy paper, mm-hmm. The cost of the paper and the ink is so high, we just don't do it anymore. And we advise you apply for a passport, okay? Now, when an American Samoan applies for a passport, something very interesting happens, and this document spells it out for you, is they get a passport just like you'd get, but inside there's a big stamp, you know, in the visa part where they stamp your countries and stuff. There's a big stamp in there that says, this person's not a citizen of the United States. Because they have a classification, non-citizen national. They're a national, but they can't be a citizen of the United States unless they naturalize. They can come to the U.S. and naturalize and take on the citizen of the United States status. But born and in their country, they can't be one. And it gives some American Samoans a glass ceiling. Like, if they come to the U.S., they can serve in the military, but they can't be in the officers' ranks. They have a representative in Congress, but the representative can't vote. Limitations like that.
Right.
And so what, with all that as a background of what we're going to read, I'm going to have Deanna read to you. I want you to go down. Are we about, is that music for a break?
Yes, that is time for a break.
All right.
I got to make sure I'm on the right page too before.
Okay. Well, let's just stay right here because I want to keep people's congruity to the next segment.
Okay.
And would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
All righty, we are back with our guest. With and our guest is Roger Sayles, S-A-Y. L-E-S. His website is sovereigntosurf.com. Okay. Pick up where we're left back. Off.
Okay, where we were. Let's just pick up a little transition. We're on the State Department website. We're looking at an official State Department policy document. It's called Certificate of Non-Citizen Nationality, and it's mainly written for American Samoans because they're the only ones that are non-citizen nationals. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now then, I want you to go down to the third paragraph, Deanna, not too far down the page, and I'd like for you to read me the first, you and the, me and the audience, the first 10 words.
As defined by the INA, all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals.
Okay, you can stop right there. Now, the rest of the document is the lie. To tell you about why the American Samoans are non-citizen nationals and can't be birthright citizens. But that statement right there, those first 10 words, I'm going to repeat it again. It's the most honest statement you're ever going to hear out of these Babylonian horse thieves. And the only reason they put it in there is because they had to set up the lie. Okay, so now my question to you is this. Did you know you had a dual political status?
Possibly. I am a citizen of Illinois and also a citizen of the United States of America, or perhaps a citizen of the United States. So
okay, well, let's get back to our first thing we agreed on. You're either free or you're slave, right? It doesn't matter what they label it. And that's how one of the ways they've used to confuse it is they change the label like they do everything else. Okay? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't change the underlying fact and the underlying concept. Now, let me go back and let's explain something on those 10 words you just read, and I'm going to reread them. According to the Immigration and Naturalization Act, all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. All, A-L-L.
All right.
That's pretty. Is that pretty inclusive, or am I missing something?
That's inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now then, I'm going to ask you two questions that you've been asked your entire lifetime, and I'd like for you to answer them like you've answered them every time. And I'm sure everybody in the audience is going to have the same answers, unless there's some rare exceptions. Okay. Deanna, on some kind of a loan form, or maybe when you're going to the bank and requesting a credit card or something,
mm-hmm.
This is one of the questions. Are you a citizen of the United States?
We all say yes.
You answered that? You answered it yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are you a resident?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's rephrase those questions, not the way they've been tricked to ask you that way and conditioned your mind to answer yes. But let me ask you the two questions, how they're really legally what they're asking you, okay? Are you a citizen of the United States? Legally, they're asking you, are you related to black slaves who, after the Civil War, received federal citizenship and civil rights?
Yes.
Okay, would you answer that question yes again?
No.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you the second one. Do you have a status of black slave, citizen of the United States, and are living in a state asking for federal protection against the abuses of your state?
Oh, no, gosh.
Well, you mean you would have answered them totally 100% opposite had you known what they were asking?
Right.
Okay. Have you ever heard of anybody say that they've got to have the consent of the governed?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Guess who gave them their consent?
You did. Yes.
Anybody that's ever answered that question
gave
them the consent that they are exercising. Now, is this a little clearer than the last time we covered this?
Yes. I should have had you on the program in the intervening years. I have no idea why I haven't.
It's because it wasn't meant to be, and it's meant to be now. Okay? Now, one of the reasons that I was stimulated to write that document, and by the way, I've spent 20 hours on two pages, 20 hours, to get it down as concise and abbreviated and accentuated as it is. One of the reasons I did that is because I've been doing this for almost 30 years, Deanna, in one way, shape, or form or another. For the first, 20 or almost over 15, I could only explain it one way, from the tax side, and I would have to have your attention to give you all of these legal concepts and history that you'd never been aware of before to get you to a point where I could show you in the tax code what they're doing to you. Okay, and there's not very many people that are going to sit through that, unfortunately. So what I noticed was there's always the truth seekers that would come, but occasionally we'd get some new people, going to get after the break.
Right. All righty, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back. Our guest today is Roger Sayles, S-A-Y-L-E-S. His website is sovereigntosurf.com. And we are looking at a very interesting page that... I will post in the chat room, and thank you for the person who previously posted the page. Okay, let's pick up where we left off.
Deanna, the link to all this and is covered in the document, How to Escape the Matrix. So this is in there. Mm-hmm. But I've learned that it's so complex, I don't want to lead you into the complexities so that you're totally confused when I give you the punchline. So I'm giving you the punchline, the end game at the start, and we're going to fill in the blanks, but you're going to know where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you just had a gun spot on there for those folks out in Nevada. I can't remember the name of them there. How any of you gun owners, would you like it if none of the regulations in Title 27 and BATF applied to you anymore? Do you think that might interest some of your listeners?
All right.
Okay.
I love that. I love that commercial because at the end, John says, shoot him an email. And I don't think he did it on purpose, but I always laugh when I hear it because it's so shoot
nice
him
double entendre.
Yeah.
Entree.
Yeah.
And that is, you know what that's called right there? I'm going to tell you, this is there's a word for what they've done here. And a listener called in one day and gave it to me. I didn't even know it. It's called equivocation. And you can go to your dictionary and look it up, and you can even go, really, when I learned it, I went back to the 1828 Webster's Dictionary to look it up, And it tells you what it is, where you got two conflicting definitions of words. And then down at the bottom, there's a little note on the one I looked at that day. And it said, this technique is often used by non-Christians to fool Christians. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now then, we've talked about our certificate here. Let me get this irritating thing down. And I want to take you to the end game, how to get out of it. Okay. Scroll down a little bit on this document, and I'm going to show you the proof of what I'm talking about. They're going to show you, actually. Go down. They give some definitions and some stuff on sections of the INA mm-hmm. below that, right? Mm-hmm. Do you see where it says section 101A21? It's the second one, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it says, why don't you read it?
The term national, means a person owing permanent allegiance to a state.
Well, I'm going to correct you. I'm going to reread it. The term national means a person owing permanent allegiance to a small s state.
Oh.
Okay. Now then, I'd like for you to go down two, I think. Okay. And section 101A36 of the Immigration and Naturalization Act. You see that right below that?
I see the term state capitalized.
Yes. Do you think it makes a difference whether it's small case or capitalized?
I believe it would, yes.
Okay. Well, then read the rest of the definition. A capital S state is?
The term state includes the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Virgin Islands of the United States.
Well, in the above one, they didn't list out any includes, did they? They just put small s state. Okay, now let me tell you what they're doing here. The base formula of the term we use that's so incredibly important here is called jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. How do they have the power to make man-made laws and apply them to me? That's jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the basic formula goes back to something we're going to discuss here in a minute. It's the system we're in. And I want to ask you, I'll ask you right now, Deanna, can you tell us how much you know about the feudal system?
Probably not sufficient to.
Probably, you probably don't know too much about it, do you?
No.
Okay. Well, we're going to go into it a little bit because that's the system we're in.
Perhaps right? Under a different name, I might recognize it, but go ahead.
Well, let's go back to what we're doing here. We're going to cover that in a minute. A term national, notice it doesn't say U.S. national. A term national means a person owing permanent allegiance to a small s state. The concept of jurisdiction came out of the feudal system. And it was the relationship of a liege man to a liege lord. That's their terminology. Okay, mm-hmm. Liege being the root word of allegiance. Mm-hmm. And the formula is allegiance for protection, protection for allegiance. We use it today offhandedly in our movement as if you receive the benefit, you owe the duty. Okay, mm-hmm. But this is the base and where it came from. So when they say permanent allegiance to a small s state, they're telling you that's the old state citizen. But unless you know that other legal stuff, you don't understand what they're telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I want you to go down. I told you this is easy to get out of. We're hitting high points today here, folks. Okay. I told you this is easy to get out of, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to scroll down to the very bottom of this page. And read the last three lines starting over on the right under the quote. Oh, you see that?
Paragraph?
Yes, the very last paragraph on the page. Don't mess with the paragraph because that's a bunch of smoke. Read the last sentence on that page.
I, being duly sworn, hereby declare my intention to be a national. Oh, but not a citizen of the United States.
That's how difficult it is to get out of this. That statement, put in preferably affidavit form. Why? Because now it's weaponized. An affidavit is the highest form of truth in law if it's properly formed, properly notarized, and presented to proper authority. They then have to write their own affidavit trumping what your statement and facts are, and they've got to sign it under penalty of perjury too, and they'll never do it. Okay. Now, can you believe that that sentence can get you or anybody else out of all this crap? It's hard to believe.
Specifically, tell us what this crap, quote.
Okay, now we can
is.
Go back. Let's go back to the document now. I've laid the end. I've showed you how to get out. You know, I've done a lot of public speaking in my life, and I was a teacher for 10 years, and I heard a guy, a very accomplished speaker one time, say, a good talk is you go in, you tell them what you're going to tell them.
Right.
You tell them, and then you tell them what
you told them. Okay?
That's what I'm trying to do here.
Yes.
All right. So now we're going to go over and go down this document, How to Escape the Matrix, that Deanna's going to post on her website. And if you'd like a copy of this, I don't have it posted on my website yet, but here's what you can do. This is why I told you to get the pencil and paper. You can write me an email at this address, and it's on the bottom of the document, too, if you download it. Anybody want all where we are, all the contact stuff is on that. But if you're listening and you're just being exposed to this, I want you to have a copy of this. And I think you might want to have a copy of it. And it's designed so you can send it to all your friends electronically. You can post it anywhere you might be able to post stuff. Or for the real grassroots rubber meets the road, you can take it to a printer and print it off easily and go hand it to people on the street. You can take it into businesses that you know that are positive towards our message. Have them print it up and hand it out to every customer that comes in the store. This is how we spread it, because this is how we beat these guys. They didn't come in and conquer us with guns. They used their intellect and this trick right here to conquer us and control us. We're not going to get out of it by fighting them with guns. We're going to get out of it by fighting it with our brains and our intellect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
So, if you want a copy of this document, and I would encourage every one of you to please follow through on this. If you don't have a copy, send an email to Radio Ranch, that's one word, Radio Ranch at mail@mail.com. Repeat it again. Radio Ranch, all one word, at mail@mail.com. Just send me an email. You can just put Matrix Doc up in the subject line. I'll shoot it right back to you. Okay. So let's go over now the document. Deanna, we went over the two statements at the top, the two quotes, right? And then I tell you that this is meant to make you start asking questions. And the first place we start is where it started. Well, let me digress just one step before we get here. You know where this started, Deanna?
No.
What? Well, I'm going to ask you to see how good your recall is here. When was the last time, first time you were exposed to Alice in Wonderland?
Oh, goodness. You don't want the year, do you?
No, I'm just off the cuff. You remember 6, 7, 5?
Okay, Alice in Wonderland. I was quite the reader, so I would say probably when I was 5.
Okay, would you say that a 5-year-old's mind is pretty impressionable in your full subconscious?
Oh,
and stuff?
Absolutely. A child is so, right. They're just waiting.
Well, this is
for,
where, this
for
is where they start.
Yes.
This
yes.
is where they start. You know, it's a political document, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what was the original working title of Alice in Wonderland? Do you remember?
Alice in Wonderland. What did they call it?
Through the looking glass.
Yes.
I'll save you a little time. And you can prove this right now before I get into the quotes. I'm going to quote you out of Alice that influenced you, even though you didn't know it, because we're talking subconscious here. You know, your subconscious controls 90% of your day. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and have you seen an article on the Rothschilds costume ball?
No.
Okay. Put in a search engine, Lady Rothschild's costume ball. You don't have to do it right now. You can do it later. But there's a lot. You'll see a bunch of articles. It was back in the 80s or something, and Lady Rothschild had a big costume ball. And in several of the articles, it'll say in the first paragraph, Lady Rothschild was so clever. She had the invitations printed backwards, so you had to read them in a mirror.
Oh my gosh.
Huh? Does that kind of tweak anything for you? Okay. Now, here we go. At the first of the book, the film, whatever, I went back and watched the Disney on this, by the way, a while back. So at the first of the film, you know, Alice is there with her teacher in a nice little patch of grass, and her teacher, instructor, whatever it is teaching her whatever subject, and she goes off in a daydream. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up in the story, she ends up on the tree adjacent to where she was being taught on a big limb there towards the bottom, and her cat's with her, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she says this, if I had a world of my own, everything would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't.
Right.
And then what it is, it wouldn't be, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring a bell with anybody? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, this is, you get a little further into there, and there's this wonderful quote that was on the very front page of my legal research book from Nolo Press. It's where I found it. Humpty Dumpty said, in a rather scornful tone, when I use a word, it means exactly what I say it means, no more, no less.
Yes.
The question is, said Alice, how can you make a word mean so many different things?
Mm-hmm.
The question is, said Humpty Dumpty, who's to be master? That's all.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they started you whenever you first got exposed to Alice in Wonderland, which is, I remind you, the world's most popular children's story.
Oh my gosh, they started us out very young, didn't they?
I'm telling you, man, these people are slicker than bus station chili. Okay?
Yes.
All right, so let's go over here to the document and the setup. This is what I want y'all to understand. I should close this thing out, period. Okay, I'll do that. Now I won't be interrupted, Deanna. Right under that, we go to the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment was passed after the Civil War. It's got some very interesting aspects to it. First of all, it's not the original 13th Amendment. Do you know that?
No. Oh, of course, yes. I've written about it.
Okay. And the 13th Amendment made it where lawyers couldn't serve in Congress anymore.
Right.
You know they had to get rid of that.
Okay. Right.
Now, we found it in old law books, by the way. So it was ratified. It was in the Constitution in old law books. They don't put unratified amendments in law books.
Right.
Okay. So let's go to the new 13th that they ran in. And it's instructive to note that this was voted on in June of that year. And they actually allowed the Southern legislators into Congress to vote on this one. But 6 months later with the 14th, they wouldn't let them in. Okay. Now, let's read the 13th Amendment. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Okay? Two important points. We know what's outlawed. Slavery and involuntary servitude. Well, voluntary servitude is legal by omission then because it's not specifically outlawed. Is that right?
Right.
And it's their jurisdictions denoting the several states. It's not singular. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So those are two pretty important points. Never heard anybody else expand on this. No lawyers, no court cases, no nothing. Okay. Now, 6 months later, they passed the 14th Amendment. It reads, this is the first clause. The 14th Amendment is long. Everything we do is on the first clause of the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, comma, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, comma, are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's 8 legal landmines in that sentence. Legal landmines. All right? I won't go over them here. This is for more in-depth, dig deep down. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're surface here today. We want you to start asking questions. Okay? So, now let's read it again with one word. Rather than go over those 8, let's just mess with one. Okay? Mm-hmm. The 14th Amendment does not say all persons born or naturalized in the United States, comma, are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. It says and. Any difference in that, you think?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, Deanna, you've been kicking around here for a long time. You know, our movement, you've been on the air for a long time, you know.
Yeah, 10 and a half years.
You remember Al Addisk?
Yes.
Okay. For those who don't know, Al doesn't have too high a profile last few years. Al Addisk, legal-oriented guy in Texas, got into this. He was a roofer. Did you know that? He's a roofer, and he got into a family custody fight, divorce, and that got him into this. We all come in through different doors. Okay. Mm-hmm. But my point earlier I didn't get to make was that's the way new people came is when their ox got gored. So whether it's IRS or whatever, and then they start asking questions. Well, a couple of weeks ago, everybody's ox got gored simultaneously and collectively at the same time. That's why I wrote this paper, because I know there's a lot more people that are receptive to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the 14th Amendment does not say you are subject to. It says and. That denotes a choice, doesn't it? If there's some that are and subject, are there some not that are and not subject?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there you go. That's the whole thing right there. It doesn't say they are subject. It says they're and subject.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to tell you a little. I'm going to lift the curtain up just a little bit, and maybe we can go into what I wanted to go into a minute ago. The first 3 words, all persons born, you notice how they're underlined there in the document? Those 3 words run the world. All persons born. They run the world this day and have for a long time. And I'm going to explain to you how. I mentioned a minute ago the feudal system. Most people don't know anything about it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The feudal system developed in Europe after Rome fell, as Rome was falling. And here's what happened. Rome was stretched to the east all the way to Spain, and I mean to the east all the way through Constantinople, and to the west all the way through Spain. Well, it was the Western Empire that fell first, okay, and fell, mm-hmm. period. And what happened was the Goths came down, the Germans came down, started fighting them, and all the spread of that Western territory, they had major towns, okay? Valencia, etc.
Right.
Ah, there we go. A hint, sense of break. Fall of the Roman Empire, where we'll pick it up.
We will be right back.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Deanna, and our guest is Roger Sales. And I was kind of multitasking, going through the document as you were talking. I have it on my website and am in the process of uploading it. I have it all nicely formatted, and it's ready to go. And I'm just finishing up, putting it up.
Well, we're going to go back to where kind of this started, okay? And we were at the, before the break, we were at the fall of the Roman Empire.
Right.
By the way, Edward Gibbons wrote that great book, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire.
I have that book. Mm-hmm.
And there's a statement he makes in there that I think you'll find particularly interesting. He said, the first engine of tyranny is a corrupt judiciary.
Right.
So let's go back to the downfall of Rome in this situation where the cities in the empire were being attacked and the roads that connected them were cut off. Therefore, the Goths could surround the cities and force them to do whatever they want, a siege, right? Well, people would get out, all right? And all they could do is run out in the countryside. Most of the land was owned by Roman generals. And they would go to the landowner and say, can you please give us some shelter? And he'd go, yeah, I can, but you got to promise me that you'll help me defend me against these guys if they come for me. There's your allegiance for protection, protection for allegiance. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, that developed, and it has 1,000 years of legal precedent. This isn't no shot in the dark, here one day, gone the next. Mm-hmm. 1,000 years of legal precedent here. That's 4 times longer than our country's been in existence.
Mm-hmm.
Perspective. Okay. So it developed.
All righty. Okay. We are at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. And I'll have the document uploaded to the website when we get back. Be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Truth, truth.